We're taking verse 8, or rather verse 9 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians as our text. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Here we have, in this text of Scripture, summed up for us the unparalleled grace of Jesus. Here we have, in one verse, a verse in a nutshell, all that we need to know about the grace of God. We thank God for that grace. We sing sometimes in that little chorus, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. I think we can see from this text just exactly what the poet meant, or the hymn writer, when he penned the lines of that little verse. We want tonight to look at this text and to learn something of the meaning of the grace of God in Christ. First of all, we notice the words in verse 9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Let's have a wee look at Christ's original riches. That though he was rich, I'm certain that to no period of time on earth during Christ's life can this particular part of the text apply. The text has no meaning if Christ had no existence before he came into this world. Now this part of the verse is very clear. When viewed with the rest of Scripture concerning the teaching of the Bible in regard to the Godhead, we know that there are three persons in the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when this verse speaks of Jesus Christ being rich, it's going back before his earthly birth. It's going back before Bethlehem. It's going back not only in time, but right into eternity past, declaring to us that Jesus Christ had an existence long before he became man and was seen of men on this world. The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed God. He is indeed eternal. He is the unchangeable one. And we're told in the Scriptures that he is God over all, God manifest in the flesh. This is the true God. And so, when we're speaking of the riches of Christ, his original riches, we're speaking of his eternity past. We're speaking of the glory that he had with the Father even before the world began. We're speaking of his pre-existence. We're speaking of his eternality. We're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is eternal. We're not speaking of one who only began to exist from Bethlehem's manger, but we're speaking of one who is God indeed. He possessed all the attributes of God. He possessed almighty power. He had infinite knowledge. He was boundless in his goodness. He was immaculate in his purity. He was unchangeable in this truth. This great Savior is the greatest. He's not just great, but he's the greatest. He's not just high, but he is the highest. He is not just glorious, but he is transcendently glorious. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. He is above all. He is God manifest in the flesh. And when we speak of the riches of Christ, we speak of him as Lord of Lords and of as King of Kings. Christ is the proprietor as well as the creator of the universe. Thank God he is its sustainer. By his right hand, this world was founded. He spake along with the Father, along with the Son, and this world became into being. Here is the creator of the world. By him were all things made. By him do all things consist. And without him, nothing can remain. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Every world, every planet, in all the immensity of space belongs to him. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. And Christ upholdeth all things by his power. He was rich. Oh yes, rich in power. Rich in his kingdom. Rich in honor. Rich in glory. Oh, thank God for the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He is King. And I'm glad that he is my Savior. I'm glad that he's my Savior. He's my Lord. I'm glad that tonight he has saved me. Jesus Christ was rich. Jesus Christ was rich, as I've said, in honor. May the multitudes of heaven adore him. Thank God the angels sing. The choirs of heaven sing praise unto God. And thank God the redeemed of all ages who have arrived in glory sing the praise of the Redeemer. And we at earth, we've been singing of the matchless grace of Christ. We've been singing of the love that brought him down from heaven. We've been singing, adoring and praising him for reaching down to save us by his grace. We thank God that we worship him tonight. And I trust and I pray that tonight, if there are those in this service who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that they will come to trust in him, for he alone can save. There is none other. We not only look at Christ's original riches, but we can see his voluntary poverty. For it speaks in the text, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." He became poor. Now this was not an accident, nor an afterthought, but it came about as the result of his own will. It came about as a result of his own voluntary arrangement, because away back in the council chambers of eternity, before the hills in order stood, God the Father, God the Son entered into a covenant of grace to bring redemption, to bring salvation, to bring deliverance to sinful men, to bring salvation to you, and to bring salvation to me. Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped forth from glory Laid aside those riches. Laid aside that honor. Laid aside that glory. Stepped down into the poverty of this world. Became bone of our bone. Flesh of our flesh. Took upon him our sins to the cross. And there he died in agony, in ignominy, in shame, that he might put away our sins and redeem us unto God. He took upon him our nature. Oh, the condescension of it all. Oh, the humiliation of it all, in that God was manifest in the flesh. We thank God that the one who was God, the inhabitor of eternity, stepped into time, took upon himself bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. God dwelling in the nature of worthless man, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, that he might condemn sin in the flesh, that he might redeem by his dying on the cross, that he might win unto himself a people for all eternity. Thank God, he took our nature. He took human flesh. God clothed in human flesh. Oh, what humiliation. He became poor. He became poor in the poorest sense. For there's many in the world today, and they cannot be called as poor. For there are many, and they are living in the affluence of society. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he assumed our nature in its purest form. Look at even his parentage. We think of Mary. We think of Joseph. Of humble origin. Poor background. Unknown. Hidden and obscure. And yet it pleased the Lord that Jesus Christ should be born of the Virgin Mary. We think of his birthplace. He wasn't born in a royal palace. He wasn't born in a 5-star hotel. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem. We think of his occupation. He carried on his business as a carpenter in Nazareth. We think of the circumstances that prevailed there in the humility of his upbringing. There was no gold or lands or multiple possessions. We think that on one occasion it was said the birds of the air had nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. We think of his resources. When he was asked to pay tribute money, he had to depend upon the mouth of a fish in order to get his tax money. We think of his garments and his clothing. Oh, all that he had. He walked up Golgotha's hill, and even on the cross, they stripped him of what he had. There bearing shame and scoffing rude, in our place condemned he stood. Sealed our pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We think of his grave. He was laid in another's tomb. We see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. We see how he emptied himself, laying aside the riches of his glory. coming down into the poverty of this world and living among men, that he might save them from their sins. We think he was poor also in his reputation. It was said by Solomon that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. The same preacher said, a good name is better than precious ointment. But how poor the Lord Jesus Christ was in this respect. He was the Holy One, without spot, sin, or wrinkle. And yet they called him the gluttonous person. Didn't they call him a winebibber? A companion and friend of publicans and sinners. He was represented with the worst of society and identified with the worst of sinners. He was accused of being a madman and of having the spirit of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Oh, what slanders. Oh, what revelings they accused him of. And everywhere it could be said of the Lord Jesus Christ during his sojourn on earth, reproach hath broken my heart. Such was his poor reputation. He was branded with the worst of crimes and with those who committed sedition. And at last, because of all these false slanders and accusations heaped upon him by the wicked and by the cruel and by the religious and by the establishment of his day, at last he was put to a cruel death. He was put to the death of the cross. He died even with the wicked. And there on that cross, he hung between two thieves, robbers and murderers. Oh, we can see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Aren't we glad that the Lord Jesus Christ became such? Identified himself with us. Tonight we can by faith look to him and be saved from our sins. We have seen his original riches. We have seen his voluntary poverty. Now we look in closing at the purpose of it all. Why did he come in such a manner? It says it was through his poverty. The text tells us that we through his poverty might be rich. That's the purpose of it all. That's the reason for it. That's the end of Christ's coming. That was the reason for his poverty. It was that through his poverty we might become rich. The sinner's poverty is very clearly here implied. We are poor. Perhaps there was a time, in fact there was a time, when man originally was rich. We think back to the time of Eden's garden. He was rich in holiness. He was rich in dominions. He was rich in fellowship with God. But because of sin, man lost all this. Man became poor indeed. He lost his inheritance. He lost his holiness. He lost his health. He lost his happiness, his fellowship with God. He was rich. But through sin, he's become poor. the Lord Jesus Christ has become poor. We might have that richness restored again, that the paradise which man lost might be regained, that heaven which is man's home might indeed be regained. Tonight, we're glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, through his poverty and death on the cross, has purchased a rich inheritance for all who will believe in him. It's rich to know your own state. Oh, thank God for the richness of the knowledge of Christ. When we see him, that we begin to learn the poverty of our own lives, the poorness of our hearts, the sinfulness of our souls. We begin to learn the only remedy is to be found in Jesus Christ. Oh, what richness of knowledge there is in the Lord Jesus. Let us tonight begin to learn something of that richness of his grace. Oh, the richness of his pardoning grace, that he forgives sinners, that he blots out all their transgressions, that they might be remembered no more against the sinner forever. Oh, the richness of his pardoning grace. Oh, the mightiness of his delivering grace. Oh, the richness of his regenerating grace. That grace which enters into the heart, causing the soul to be born again, causing the soul to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, the richness of his regenerating grace. Friend, view it, look to it, see it alone in Christ. And then we think of the richness of his adopting grace. Oh, the grace that adopts a sinner, takes him from being a child of the devil, lost in his sin, bound and fettered by the darkness of iniquity, wandering aimlessly and homelessly to hell's portion. Oh, the richness of the adopting grace of God that will take a poor, vile sinner, a son of this world bound for hell, and make that child of the devil a child of God. Thank God for the richness of his adopting grace. Thank God we learn from the Shorter Catechism that adoption is the work of God's grace, whereby we are received into the family of God. And we have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. Just like the prodigal coming from the far country, he's received by the Father, brought into the Father's house, into the banqueting hall, set down at the table, and he has a right to all the richness and all the privileges and all the grace of the Father's house. Somebody once said, when the prodigal came home and the father received him and he was restored and made his son again, that son had a right to go to the larder, open the door, and avail of all the bounties of the larder and the father's house and of the richness of the father's supply. He's no longer a pauper. He's no longer in rags. He's no longer among the husks of the swine, getting a little bit here to keep him alive. But thank God now, he's enjoying the full blessing of the Father's house, having been adopted by the grace of God. Young sinner tonight, you can be adopted tonight. You can be brought in, made a child of the family of God. Older sinner tonight, you can also be adopted and made a child of the family of God. Don't wander on in the blackness of sin anymore. But oh, turn to the Savior. Turn that you might find grace, pardoning grace, regenerating grace, adopting grace, all grace to help. Grace in it all its abundance, abounding grace toward the chiefest of sinners. And then, friend, not only did Jesus Christ become poor that we might be rich, rich in grace, rich in the knowledge of Christ, but rich in glory as well. We might share the glories of Christ with the Father. What a wonderful thought. Heirs together of the inheritance of God's glory. What a wonderful blessing the grace of God brings us into. What a wonderful thing to be heirs together of the grace of eternal life. To look forward to a portion with the Lord in eternity. Oh, thank God tonight for this wonderful, matchless grace of Christ, and for that which has been purchased for us on the cross at Calvary. We see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sins he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. People on earth never turn away riches. People like to have what will get them through this life. But listen, friend, there's more to living than just this life. We've made all our preparations to help us through this life. But have you made preparation for eternity? Are you rich toward God? Are you ready for heaven? If not, get right tonight. Remember, Christ came. He left aside his glory that he might save you. He died on the cross that sinners like you might be saved. And on that cruel tree, he died and shed his blood that sinners might be rich for all eternity. Will you take the grace of God tonight? Will you trust in the Redeemer and take him as your Savior? Let us bow together in prayer.